Hello and welcome to episode 92 of Speak Beastie for July 28th, 2019. I'm Shannon.
I'm Ariel. And am I introducing our special guest?
I guess so.
Okay, I'll do it.
He needs no introduction.
Oh, I guess then you're introducing him, if that's how it's going to be.
I feel like you can't say, am I introducing this person, and then say, he needs no introduction on an audio platform.
Yeah, and then you just walk into the room, and there you are.
Yeah, you can't hear it, but I'm waving.
If I were waving, you could hear it because of my elbow, but...
Yeah, right.
Ariel's elbow is in some sort of distress,
yeah,
listeners.
My whole body at all times. Hashtag chronic illness life.
Hashtag.
What up?
This is our special guest. Tell everyone who you are. If they don't know, they should know.
They should know. If they haven't been with us since the first episode, then GTFO.
But not really, please.
But not, yeah, but yeah. Probably not really. Okay. I'm Aaron. I was one of the founding starter voices.
Yeah,
on Speak Beastie.
I'm the only founding father.
Yeah. I'm the grandpappy of Speak Beastie.
Oh, gross.
And yeah, I know. I felt bad saying it. It felt really gross. I'd say cut that out, but we know what's going to happen.
We
know what's not going to happen. It's fine.
Don't cut it out.
Sure.
Tell us about yourself.
So I'm Aaron Duncan Schwartz, and my Hogwarts house is Gryffindor. My Ilvermorny house is Horned Serpent. My Patronus, according to the bad test, is, I don't remember, some kind of snake. Some kind of snake. My favorite. Oh man, my favorite beast. I don't know.
No, you skipped one.
Oh, I did. Oh, where am I from? I'm from California.
Ooh,
yeah.
So you sound like that.
Sure. Yes. I don't know what my favorite beast is. There are so many beasts. I've brought several beasts to Speak Beastie that were purposefully just to terrify Ariel. Probably one of those fun nightmares.
Maybe the one we're talking about today. You know? Oh.
Yeah, this one's it's nightmare-ish. It's not super.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got some claws. It's nightmare-ish.
I scrolled down and just like glanced at it and saw the word victims and body parts.
Yeah.
Favorite
it's
things.
Fine.
Human
it's fine.
Child. I'm excited. For
it's all fine. Everything. It's just like a wee fluff ball.
Sure. Bullshit.
Yeah. It's not. It's very scary. it says thoughts on crimes of Grindelbutt.
Cog.
What the hell was that? Like, watching it, like, every... I feel
very
like
succinct.
I had to rewatch so many sections, and I still have no idea what happened.
Yeah.
There are so many characters, and so much plot, and so many things, and yet nothing happened.
Is there so much plot, though?
Yeah, it's like they took all... They took, like 10 different plots, and then took, a sentence fragment from each one of those, and put it all together into a scene.
And made it one plot, yeah.
I don't know who the protagonist is anymore. Do we care about Newt anymore? Is he the...
We care about Newt.
I mean, like, I like him the best, but, like, that's also because everyone else is terrible, apparently.
So do you have something else to talk about for us, Aaron?
Yes, I do. So I am actually in a West Coast premiere of the play Puffs. Puffs...
That's-
crazy.
I'm as surprised as you are. I remember when Puffs came out in 2015, 2016. I should know that. But it ran off Broadway for like 2.5 years. I think it's just closed recently, actually. It might be about 3 years now. It was hugely successful off Broadway, and the rights just became available. So the company that I'm at, Alchemy Theater in Fullerton, California, we managed to get a hold of it, and we are a West Coast premiere of that. So
now explain to me how you, a very proud Gryffindor as established, can be in Puffs.
Because I play Cedric, who is the Puff who gets the most attention and is therefore the closest to being a Gryffindor.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm also confident, by the way, so that there's active. Some kind of like legalese of what I'm exactly allowed to say in regard to Potter things. So I'm gonna try and say not to say Harry and Potter in the same, like, at the same time, sure. Just in case I get in trouble. But yeah, so sure. So Puffs is very much a like playing in J.K. Rowling's sandbox without using any of her toys. So it follows the 7 years of a certain school of magic and magic, and we follow a handful of Puffs as they experience everything as the boy wizard who lived was also there at school, yes. Causing mayhem. So yes. Yeah, and it's okay. It is a wonderful story. It is really funny. It is really, really funny. It's really fun, and it's also incredibly heartfelt. Like, it's, I was surprised because the first time I saw it, I was like, this is really funny. And then at the, like, closing out at the end, I'm like, wow, I didn't expect to care this much about this show. But it's actually, like, really heartfelt and really sweet. And if you are a Potter fan, you will definitely, definitely like it. The show runs from April, or sorry, April. Oof. The show, I've missed it. The show runs from August 9th through September 1st. We have kid-friendly shows as well, because there are some swears in it otherwise. But we have some kid-friendly shows. We also have a relaxed performance for people who are members of the like autistic community, who would prefer to enjoy the show without having being like bombarded by a lot of noise and things as well. So we try to be very inclusive. It runs August 9th through September 1st at the Stages Theater in Fullerton, California. It's Alchemy Theater, and you can find more information at alchemytheater.com.
God, I wish I could go. Because that's right around my birthday. So it'd be perfect. I've never been to California, but...
It's fine.
Hey. Hey, now.
It's so expensive to be here.
Here I am trying to hype up your show and be like, I wish I could come. And you're like, don't.
No, the show is great. Sucks. The state that it's in is expensive, but the show itself is great, and I very much like the show. And I really enjoy playing Cedric. It's a surprising challenge.
So badly want to see that. Like, oh my gosh. Is there any way you'd be filming it? Even just like snippets?
I'm not sure. I think there's a likelihood that someone will get some kind of clip of it, but I don't know if there's any
You're just going to have to live stream it to the Speak Beastie comment.
Please. There you go. That sounds like a good idea. Yeah, yes. I'm really trying to embrace the like method act, the Puffs thing. I was at Target and I was going through, I was like, oh, I need to get some body wash. And I saw there were loofahs and I was like, oh, this loofah is black and yellow. I'm going to get it. And so I've been like loofahing with a black and yellow loofah for like a month now.
Is this
now.
What Puffs think about?
This is, loofahs? Yeah. There is, I mean, it's Puffs. There's obviously, there's the bathtub scene with Cedric as well. So yeah, oh that's definitely a thing. Yeah. Aaron, if that's enticing, if that's a real selling point or a real deterrent, I don't know.
Yeah.
Aaron, did you know that I've gone full Hufflepuff now?
Really? You've embraced it?
I've embraced it, yeah.
Finally. Ugh.
You know, after doing this show, even though it is absolutely like a comedy, I have a Hufflepuff like patch. I haven't put it on anything yet, but like I bought a dollar Hufflepuff like patch to sew onto something because I really appreciate House Hufflepuff now. Like it's very good. Jacket. I look so bad in a denim jacket.
All right, hear me out. Put it on denim jeans. Back pocket.
Yes.
Oh, it's the 90s.
Some like mom. Let's
do it.
do some mom.
Yeah, that's another thing in the show because it. Fashion. That's true. Because everything is very much the 90s. Over the course of this, like where the show obviously takes place, we really 90s it up. We in fact got there is a cover band in California, or they're out of LA, called So Rad, and they recorded a bunch of like parody 90s cover songs.
Amazing.
Specifically for Puffs that are Puffs related. Yeah. Like
this freaking show.
there's a part where they have where we almost don't get last place in the House Cup, and that's all we want is to just not be in last place. And the song that they recorded is "We're Almost Champions." It's very good.
Yes, that's so good. As much as I love talking about this,
yes.
We haven't even done the Phoenix Register.
Yeah.
Oh.
Take it away, Ariel. Let's
dive right into it. Oh, I gotta do the thing. I've gotta do it since Aaron's here. And it's a special episode.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Even though I do it literally every time. So, here we go. And now for the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as $1 a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
Not a lot of news, because the movie doesn't come out for another, like, 20 years. But... in Speak Beastie specific news, we have an awesome, amazing, shiny new website courtesy of, I think it was primarily Megan and Cheyenne, but I think Ashley and maybe a few other people might have helped, so if I'm leaving anyone out, I am so sorry, but I just remember Megan being the one in the group who was like, hey, I did this thing on the website, can you check it out, like, every 5 minutes, so kudos to our amazing producers, and also Cheyenne, who is our... Is it her official title, graphic designer for Speak Beastie? It's something along those lines.
You know
lines.
What? On the Speak Beastie website, there's a page called Meet the Team.
And
so
it's,
let me go ahead and tell you.
The Meet the Team is a picture of a mooncalf that's very good. It's like the most adorable. I love it very much.
Cheyenne is our graphic designer.
Yeah.
And on our website, it does have a countdown to Fantastic Beasts 3, so I can actually tell you that it's not 20 years, but it is 847 days.
That's so many freaking days.
That's like at least seven years.
At least 7 or 8 years. That's how many
Aaron's
that
is. Aaron's over here like, yeah, wow, 847 days for you guys to keep recording this podcast.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
yeah,
crazy.
For sure.
I'm going to be off being Cedric Diggory, no big deal, whatever.
That's true. That is all.
Wait,
that's canon.
Are you going to be wearing your glasses as Cedric? I know that's a really weird question.
No, I'm going to go glassesless, which is a very strange... I did it at a recent rehearsal and it felt very weird and looked very weird. It was hard to see.
So do you wear your contacts now?
I do not have contacts because I don't want to touch my eyeballs. That's weird.
You're not touching your eyeballs. You're fine.
I don't want to touch my eyeballs.
If you touch your eyeball, you're not putting your contact in. That's not how it works. It's the contact that goes. You're not touching it.
It's so weird.
Do I need to come over there and show you how it's?
And then
I've
I have to take. How do you get
14.
It? You have to get it out. You have to get it out after. You gotta touch
it's
that
not
eyeball.
Like you squeeze your eyeball.
I don't want to touch my eyeball.
Ugh.
You
okay? So
fine. Just blindly walk around to Cedric. It's fine. It's totally fine. I thought they were supposed to be good finders, you Hufflepuffs. But if you won't even wear contacts,
well, I only have to get through year four. So
well,
but actually, I play Cedric, and then once I am no longer Cedric.
Yeah, no spoilers.
I play Voldy after.
Oh.
Yeah, does which Voldy is very fun because it's a lot of interesting improv opportunities. I get to do a very awkward hug, like at a whole scenario. Yeah, it's very fun.
Good.
Mm, cool beans. 90s slang. Actually, was it originated in the 90s?
Cool
or
beans?
Was it?
I don't know. 2000s. Take it to the Owlpost.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Make sure you check out our website, speakbeastie.com. Super simple. You get to see all sorts of cool stuff, like the About Us page that you were mentioning, and the cool countdown where you can waste your life in front of.
Yeah.
Counting down the 800-some days. Gosh, that's so many days. Okay. And it just made me think of 500 days of summer, how I used to think, like, that's not a long time, but 800 seems like so much.
847 more. Days.
That's a million.
It's many years.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many
that's
years.
How,
that's almost 1,000 days.
That's how long that's the really last movie felt to watch.
847 days later.
847 days didn't even pass within the fiction of the films, the first two films.
Yeah.
Like 3 months passed.
I have no idea what they could possibly be doing.
Rewriting
fixing
the script.
So much. Hopefully.
Fixing it. Okay. Ariel, do
bringing
the Owlpost.
Colin Farrell back. Yes, Owlpost. So hoot hoot, we've got some owls.
That's one. No, I love it. That's a great new ringtone.
No.
You get a text message and it's just your voice. Hoot hoot. We have some. Owlpost, hoot hoot.
So Owlpost, we've got some awesome comments from some awesome people.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. From Herbology Newt on episode 90 regarding magical plants and beasts.
Oh, good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Very nice.
We weren't on it, so.
Yeah.
Automatically.
Automatically way better episode than if we had been on it. So Herbology Newt says, regarding bow truckles, there are actually animals that can photosynthesize. Well, they can't really do it themselves, but they have unicellular algae or dinoflagellates living inside them that can. It's called endosymbiosis, and some examples of animals that have it are corals and anemones, and spotted salamanders, so vertebrates can do it too. Therefore, Pickett could totally be a beast, but also be able to photosynthesize with his leaves. They wouldn't have the same structure as actual leaves, though, obviously. Another fun fact, the great auk is not actually related to the penguins of the southern hemisphere. Sorry, but it is the bird they were named after. So it's a penguin, but also not really? Biologists are just as weird as wizards sometimes when it comes to giving things a name.
It's true, they are. This is a really good comment. Thank you, Herbology Newt.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's actually, like, super cool.
No, that is actually really cool. Animals are wild, so... Aaron, because I'm sure you haven't listened to it, the whole episode was about, like, what differentiates plants and beasts, basically. Mm.
Yeah.
Because J.K. Rowling referred to Devil's Snare as a beast? Mm. Or something like that? And we were like,
that sounds familiar. I don't... I think it's in Fantastic Beasts. I don't know, actually.
Well, we're the experts on the subject, and we don't know, so it is a mystery.
I can go on to the next comment if like. So
I also want to say Herbology Newt's username was perfect for their comment.
It's the most really. Hufflepuffiest Hufflepuff thing ever. It's very good.
It's a very Hufflepuff Ravenclaw comment right there.
So another comment we got is from Sal on episode 9 regarding diversity. Sal says, I would have loved to see more South Asians take a lead and work with Newt. It would have been nice to see that. I noticed the same thing you guys did, that minor figures didn't play much of a role. They were either killed or not good characters, which I think was unfair. We're not all bad people despite what media portrays of us, and I am slightly disappointed in JK, who makes out that her stories encourage diversity. It's all well saying, oh, there are some minority figures in there. It's no good having people of color in for a split second and calling it diversity, because actually it doesn't really do much, does it? If writers truly want to portray diversity, then they should do it properly and allow POC be main characters who play a big part in saving the world, making a positive change, etc., or having them play heroes with good quality, ones that actually survive and live to tell the tale.
Yes, yeah. Yes, 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 yes. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you, Sal. I know me saying this as a white person is not, I don't know. It, you coming forward and saying all of these things is what needed to be said. And I love that there was, you know, a discussion on diversity because, you know, there's the whole issue of there is disappointment in
yeah.
the last movie and kind of the representation, how it's like part of it kind of seemed representation for representation's sake and not like actually
yeah.
fully fleshed out. And
it's like pandering. It's not, yeah. it's not real. Yeah. They exactly. they were like, oh, you want diversity? Here are a bunch of people of color. By the way, they either have no character, their plot goes nowhere, or we'll kill them. Like,
yeah.
there's, you know, it's silly.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate. I mean, you have freaking Zoe Kravitz, who's incredible. And, yeah. and you're just like, I know, we'll kill her after having her do nothing. Like,
and I thought she was, like, of the new characters that were introduced, she was the one I was most looking forward to seeing, not just because, you know, Zoe Kravitz was portraying her, but because we, what we knew about her from the first movie, and then what they were telling us about her before the second movie came out, and I thought, oh, what a compelling character, like, this sounds so exciting, and then we see the movie, and I was like, oh, I love her, like, I love her character, I think this is great,
and they then, just abandoned of course, it.
Yeah, I was like, this is crap, like, what, yeah, it just, it was disappointing. And
same
I,
with Nagini. Nagini was yeah. like, oh, and Nagini's going to be in this. And everybody's like, this is kind of a weird thing. Like, but I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt if it goes yeah. okay. And it's like, by the way, she's enslaved and then she's a sidekick. Like,
and she like has three lines.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know?
Yeah.
It was a lot felt, like you said, the whole movie anyway was pretty convoluted. But it just felt like so, there were so many wasted opportunities. Like, there was so much that could have been cut to give some of these characters room to breathe. Because
yeah.
if you don't, there were so many, there were just so many characters that at some point I was like, okay, well, who's this guy again? Like, and they don't even mention his name. And I'm just like, what's going on with this person?
Yeah.
It's like people like Nagini and Lita and even Kama, you know, like, there's so much more that could have been done with all of them that I felt they got sidelined because for the sake of someone else's story, or, oh, here's McGonagall when she's not even supposed to be alive,
right.
like, for the fans.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, that there was so much yeah. that could have been done, and I really, really like this comment because, you know, yes, please, call it out. Tell it like it is.
Yeah, because
we need to hold them accountable.
They were like, I know, we'll throw a bunch of minority characters in there and people of color, and that wasn't what the audience was asking for. It's the and it's like, just have the movie be whatever the movie's gonna be. Just have whatever new character that you are going to already introduce, just have them not be white. That's it. It's not that
yeah.
hard because there are so many characters that have to be introduced. I mean, geez, the the police officer, or the or like the head orr who's above Theseus, like he's in a lot of stuff. He has the capacity to be a dynamic character. Just make him not white. Yeah. Like, that's one character that would have been fine, and then you can also build off of his storyline in the future as well. It was like, oh, we have to add all these different characters, and they added them, and they're like, oh no, there are too many characters. We have to get rid of them now. And it's like, you still have a net sum of zero people of color. Like, you have to build for longevity. You have to introduce people into this story that are going to be there for a while and just not make them white, because we're like, I'm a straight cisgendered white guy. I'm tired of looking at white people. Like, it's boring. It's all the same. Like, I want to see someone else's perspective. It sucks because acting is inherently a prideful thing, and it's like, you want to be good at your job. And being good at your job means portraying a character. So being told you should not portray this character is, like, kind of hurtful, inherently hurtful. But at the same time, it's like, you don't have to portray every character. You don't have to do everything. Like, you know, there are tons of people out there that are extremely talented. Like, just let them do it. And, you know, if the reason is that, like, hey, you're white and we don't need another white protagonist, that's as good as literally any other reason to have you not be in that movie.
Like, that story has already been told a million times over. Yeah. You know, like, we get it. White people, like, think they're the center of all universes. Like, it's just, like, and even when fan casting with Newt was happening, I remember, I can't think of the actor's name, but he was in Misfits.
Nathan Stewart Jarrett.
Yes, thank you. He was like one of the faces I saw primarily, like, people being like, oh, I'd love to see him as Newt Scamander. And, like, I loved Misfits, so I was like, oh, that would be great. And people were a bit disappointed when it was Eddie Redmayne at first. But, you know, I love Eddie Redmayne. That's fine and dandy. But, again, they could have gone... We never knew what Newt looked like. They could have gone
exactly.
Like anyone. Like, really anyone. And this isn't me hating on Eddie Redmayne, because I think he gives a beautiful performance. It's just the fact that it's yet another, you know, white protagonist in, you know, a film series. And it's like, we already got that with Harry. You know, like, it just...
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Harry didn't even have to be white. It's just, it's so overdone.
I am interested in the fact that Eddie Redmayne seems to be playing more, in this movie he was playing far more into the idea of Newt being on the spectrum, and...
Oh yeah, we've talked about that a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a
good direction. He even said that he's doing that.
Yeah, I think it's a good direction, but I worry about how far he might go with it. Because it's like, Newt is stuff outside of that, and sometimes it gets awfully close, like to that line of, hey, look what I'm doing this for you, and not like, oh, I'm a fully realized character that happens to have this be part, like, a small part of my character. Because people with autism, or people who are just generally on the spectrum, they don't define themselves by that. Like, that is a part of them. So I'm just concerned that watching this movie compared to the first one, it was a reasonable jump, and I don't want the third one to be, like, pretty wild. So it's like, you can be a fully realized three-dimensional character who also, like, has autism or is on the spectrum or whatever. Like, you don't. Like, there is a balance. Don't let that thing define you, just like people on the spectrum. Don't let that thing define them.
Okay, so we're going to talk about beasts.
Which is what the movies should have been about.
The whole deal, yeah.
This is not what they say when they sit down in the Fantastic Beasts writer's room. They never say, we're going to talk about beasts.
Fantastic Beasts and where to find them? We don't know.
We don't know where they are. So
why don't you tell us?
We're going to talk about specifically the beasts in Crimes of Grindelwald, mostly the, like, new beasts that we were presented with, and kind of what their role in the film was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and why they should be in it more. So the first beast that we meet in Crimes of Grindelwald is Grindelwald's pet chupacabra, Antonio, who was never seen before and will never be seen again.
Yeah, like,
no,
what the...
he was evil. Like, that messed
yeah,
me up.
He killed his cat, basically. But where did this chupacabra come from? Anyway.
It's that part made me so frustrated because at the end, Newt gets the weird blood thing from him using the Niffler. Oh, shoot. What do you guys call the Niffler? I forgot what we...
Pastries. Oh, my
pastries,
God.
Pastries. Thank you.
Hold on. I've got a good name for the chupacabra. We're going to call him Cotton Eye Joe because where did he come from and where did he go?
Where did he go?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my.
Okay. Finish your thought, Aaron.
The idea that at the very end, we see Newt holding pastries and saying to Dumbledore how the reason why Pastries was able to steal the thing was because Grindelwald doesn't, like, pay attention to things that he thinks are simple or whatever. And then, but also Grindelwald has a chupacabra? Like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense.
But he threw the chupacabra out a window, so
it was so messed up.
It's weird.
And, like, the chupacabra, like, helped him escape. It attacked Spielman. But it's not like it was necessary to have a chupacabra there for that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Why is there a chupacabra, like, of all things? How did it get there? That's so far away from where chupacabras are. Like, France.
I love how they just expect us to... No, actually, they were in the U.S. at this point.
Oh, you're right, right. That's right. They're in the U.S. when that happened. But they're in New York. Mac that's still really USA. Far from where... That's really far from where chupacabras normally are anyway.
Yeah.
It's so... They just, like, expect us to just go along with it. Like, yeah, he's got one. It's fine. Don't question
also,
it.
Also, it was definitely
also, he
like
throws
a baby
it away.
Chupacabra.
Yeah, I remember seeing the Funko Pop and being really excited. I was like, ooh, chupacabra.
I thought it was
going
to be big.
Yeah, and it was
also,
really small.
Why would you make a Funko Pop of this? It's in the movie for, like, a second.
Yeah, well, most of the beasts that they made Funko Pops there. Also were, so... Because I remember those cat things that were like, oh, those Pokemon?
The Metaverse.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about. But the Chupa, it was just so... I don't know if they were trying to tell us, like, oh, he's real bad because he doesn't care about beasts at all. Or like,
I think they were doing that. A lot of movies will do that. They'll have a human villain hurt an animal because that's a little bit more acceptable to show on screen. Than hurting, like, a child. Although Grindelwald
kills
a child,
a baby,
literally.
Yeah, exactly. Or he has
but
one as people kill. But it's so
baby.
It's like it was just unnecessary. Like, we don't need to watch animal abuse, regardless of if it is fantastic or otherwise. It was silly, and it was a silly reason for the thing to be there in the first place.
I just also didn't know if it was supposed to be like an example of him, like, showing how dispensable, like, people and beasts and, like, anything is to him,
I mean,
so long
I think
as he gets to what
show.
He wants to. Yeah.
But that's also, like, I don't like that because I think that that's a Voldemort thing. Voldemort is people are dispensable. I think that Grindelwald needs to be a character where he truly believes in the things that he's saying. Yes, he's a manipulative person, but he does believe this and he does want to have, like, this brotherhood of wizards. Like, he does want that. So having things be so dispensable, it makes that idea really insincere.
And, like, we don't need to see Grindelwald throw a chupacabra out a window or kill a baby to know that he's a bad person.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
They wanted to make sure that we knew, but it's like, no, I already had that. Not just because I have knowledge of who Grindelwald is. Like, even I think a person who doesn't know Harry Potter could have watched the first movie and been like, that's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, the literal
look at his eye,
scene...
look at his hair.
Well, the literal first scene of Fantastic Beasts is him just obliterating a bunch of Aurors.
Yeah.
And I, just to kind of go back about, like, the difference between Voldemort and Grindelwald, I always saw them... Their difference being, like, Voldemort was incapable of love or loving, and Grindelwald, I think, was capable of it. Maybe And I always was kind of like, you know, maybe he did love Dumbledore at one point. I don't know. That's kind of murky. But I thought that was their big difference. And that kind of bounces off what you were saying, Aaron, about, you know, we don't need them to be the same. We don't need them. Like, they can't be the same, because then it's just rehashing old ideas. And Grindelwald was supposed to be, like, you know, the OG villain of the whole wizarding world, essentially. And
Grindelwald was supposed to be more charismatic.
Yeah. And like,
Voldemort is far more dangerous because he is methodical but unpredictable, whereas I feel like Grindelwald has to be like an incredibly charismatic and intelligent chess player. Like, he has everything already lined up. Like, that's what makes him so dangerous. And they kind of got there with some things, like how he set up the whole meeting and like brought the Aurors in, and it was like a trap kind of thing. Like, I like that idea of him being that kind of villain. He's not just, I'm scary because I'll kill you. It's, I'm scary because I will trap you in a way where there's absolutely no way of escaping, and you have been in this trap for a long time already without even knowing it. Like, that's an entirely different kind of fear, but you can't just have him throwing chupacabras out a window to show that he's bad.
Yeah.
Bitch, we've been new.
What else on that? Let's keep going. Okay. Let's talk about.
So next on here, Nifflers. But specifically the baby Nifflers. Everybody before this movie was all a tizzy about these baby Nifflers. And listen, they were very cute.
Yes.
What was the point of them being there?
There was literally like a whole 5 seconds of them.
Literally, it was just for them to be cute. And even though we specifically see a note where Newt's like, hey, I've taken the Nifflers with me. Like, you think they might be important. And to be fair, the adult Niffler steals the vial.
Yeah.
Right.
So that is, like, important. But the baby Niffler is not important. But
also, who's his caretaker person that he hires or
Bunty.
Whatever? Like, what is she doing there? Is she in love with him? Is this a thing? Because she's got a couple
she's
things where
like
she's like
another beast, basically.
Yeah. She's like just there, and she has lines, but they're not important. And I have no idea what the deal is with her. And
she's just like there to say she wants him to take off his shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
So that we know that, I think she's just there so that we know that someone's taking care of these other beasts.
Yeah, but it's almost like they, like when they. Because, okay, in the first movie, we don't have this whole inside look at his house and like, oh, this is where he keeps his beasts and whatnot. Like, we just think it's all in his suitcase. So we're like, okay, they're safe. They're fine. They're with him. So it's like they kind of gave us more questions. They were trying to answer questions we weren't even asking. And by doing that, they made us then ask even more questions. Like, well, what's the point of her? And then baby Niffle, and he's got all these, like, what's going on? Like, there was just so much. Yeah. I was like, what is the point? It very well could have, I mean, yeah, I get maybe they were like, okay, yeah, she takes care of things. Like, you know, he's got an assistant. He's famous now. He needs help. Whatever. But it just, again, it would have been perfectly acceptable for me, from my point of view, to keep thinking that in his suitcase, he's got his beasts and they're taken care of. Like, I didn't know that he had this whole situation going on with his house and he's got an assistant and, oh, I'm taking the baby Nifflers with me and the the adult Niffler.
As we call them.
The regular Niffler. medium, small, large. But it just, I don't know. Again, I guess another instance of a character, like, just there and kind
she's just there.
Yeah.
And you know what? If she's gonna be, like, a caretaker or maid or whatever, have her be an Alfred. Like, have her be a servant maid character that has, like, a funny quip and then is, like, in the background the rest of the time. And you're like, yeah, that's time well used. That character had a good thing, and then that was it. Because, like, now we're asking all these questions of, like, who are you? Why are you here? What's your relationship to Newt? Seems like you kind of want to bone down with Newt. Like, what is all of this stuff? It's like, I would have much preferred the maid character who Credence met up with. Like, if that character were taking care of Newt's house, I think that would have made so much more sense. Sure. Like, because that character was chill, like, intelligent, but not, like, weird. Like, it, like that character was... that might have been just a delivery of the... of, like, just the performance itself. But it seemed like this character has a lot going on, has a history, is an older person, so obviously has history anyway, but is not trying to prove it, and is not trying to, you know... I don't know. It seemed super weird to be like, who is this person? And do they show up later? Oh, no, they don't, because we have 40 other characters that show up instead.
Yeah.
But yes, Baby Nifflers, like the many characters, were there and then were not. And that was weird.
And then even at the end, yeah, when Pastries is the one who, you know,
gets the vial.
And mm-hmm. It feels kind of like they finished the script and we're like, oh wait, we have to make sure, you know, Newt's beasts come into play and do something.
Yeah, we have to make
important.
Sure a beast does something yeah. important.
Like, oh wait, the Niffler, let's just that yeah, because he'll go after the shiny thing. That's totally fine. Yeah, we'll do that. Like it felt
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it happened and like we were like, oh cool, but it felt like it was kind of shoehorned in just because they were like, oh yeah, well, this is still Fantastic Beast and blah-de-blah, but it's really not anymore.
Well, I think that the issue is that if they were to really commit to that idea, it would be okay. But the rest of the time, whenever they show a yeah. creature, the creature is just there for most of the time. Like the Kelpie, he has this whole thing with the Kelpie where he just rides it and you're like, why was... I mean, yeah, it looks cool. It's a very cool-looking creature, but, like, why was it here? The Baby Nifflers, mm-hmm. like, they're cute, but, like, why were they there? There are so many things that happen with all of these creatures, and they're just kind of there. They don't do anything. And it, yeah. and it's like, I want Newt to be, like, using his creatures and, like, have a kinship with these creatures such that he can do things with them that other people... like, couldn't do with just magic alone anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that's what makes it special. And now it's just the crimes of Grindelwald, and also we have beasts in the background. Even yeah. the whole yeah. thing with the Zuu, the big tiger-looking thing, like, very cool creature, but until the, like, random, oh, it shows up and he tames it and then uses it for the ministry thing, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I want the creatures to be characters and not props.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here, I have the Zuru a little bit later, but let's just talk about it now. I mean, there's not much more to say about it. It's like one of the most, I think, featured beasts in the movie.
It's
and it was in the trailers
cool.
a lot because it's, a very cool beast. It's very cool looking and they gave it like a little bit of an action. I mean, they gave it action sequences.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
But
it was, like, on the loose, which
it was
is kind
only...
of what we were dealing with in the first movie.
Yeah, it was only there to just, like, create action sequences.
Yeah.
Right.
And then to, yeah, scare away the Matagos, which were other beasts that were kind of cool. And they, like, made sense. They were, like, security. They were, like, so for anyone who doesn't remember,
like
they were the big black
airport,
cats in the
basically.
Ministry.
Yeah.
The French ministry. They, like, duplicate when you hit them with spells. That's cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Zuu, they then use the Zuu to help them get away from these cats. But that's it. It was just to create an action sequence.
Yeah.
It's
and
not...
It was cute when he was
plot.
Hanging with him. He had, like, his arm around
yeah.
him afterwards. Like, that was cute, but it's, like... I feel like so much of this movie was just, like... like, oh, we said we'd put beasts in it, so here's a beast, and it
yeah.
looks cool. And, I want to get to know these. I think that the Niffler is getting there over the course of two movies. The Niffler has personality
yeah.
and is like mm-hmm. becoming more fleshed out. But I think that if you're going to look at things from the perspective of and like have this moral that Newt like looks at beasts in a way that no other wizard does, I think that the movie
yeah.
has to look at beasts the way that no other movie
yeah.
would.
And, like, you had, I mean, we talk about, you know, the Niffler getting fleshed out, but you had, like, Pickett in the first movie.
Oh, yeah, Pickett,
yeah.
for sure.
And, like, he was huge, like, very important to Newt, you know, relatively important to the plot, like, they used him in the plot, but then barely in this movie. I know that he was in it. I don't remember.
He picked one lock and that's it.
Yeah.
It's just, I know we can't have, you know, how the first movie, oh no, the beasts have escaped, we have to go and find them all, and you get all of these beasts featured, and, like, they get their own scenes, and, you know, everything's happening that kind of revolves around the beasts, but it's like, you know, J.K. Rowling started writing it and was like, oh, wait, with the timeline and everything, I can incorporate Grindelwald and Dumbledore and blah, blah, blah. It's like she just veered off the original, like, freeway or whatever.
Yeah.
And another thing is, when y'all were talking about, you know, getting insight into Newt and how, you know, he cares about beasts more than, you know, most wizards, they even cut the scene about his, like, book signing or whatever, his book release party.
Yeah.
Which I thought would have been so interesting to have included, because it does give an insight into, you know, what he had written, which we already know, but also to how he was maybe affected by, you know, this newfound fame. Like, were there any beasts at the shindig? Like, I don't, you know, it feels like so many missed opportunities. I don't know. And it's like, they had a circus and you kind of see some creatures, but it's
you,
like,
see the kappa.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw the kappa, I was like, that's cool that they included a kappa. Like, that that is a cool thing, because kappas are very important in, like, Japanese culture. But it was just there. And it's supposed to be, like, that it's a circus, and they're supposed to be, like, in pain and tortured and stuff. I get it, but I don't know. It's a really cool creature, and you're just like, surprised. Yeah, like, the minority creatures are imprisoned.
Yeah. The symbolic minority creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to have all these cool beasts, they're just flipping through the book and being like, kappa, that's a cool beast. Let's put that in the circus. And it's going to be in a tub, and Newt's going to see its outline when he's doing the detection spell.
Exactly.
And then another thing that I almost forgot about was the, like, parasite in Kama's eye.
Yeah.
And this throwaway line where Newt's like, there must be a water dragon in that sewer. This is a water dragon parasite. I'm like, what's a water dragon?
Yeah, exactly.
Where could I see it?
Yeah, show me the dragon. Don't show me the weird thing that's in this dude's eye. Also, why is this thing in this dude's eye? Like, why is this in his eye?
Why did we have a
and
parasite?
Why are we dealing with it? And why is he here? Who is this? Why is he here?
It was just so that they had an excuse for Kama to be unconscious so that they could talk about him and observe the scar on his hand.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, there was no other way to do that.
Which, that could have been in dialogue that included him. Like, Newt's whole thing is that he's blunt. Newt could have been like, you have scars on your hands. Is that from an unbreakable vow? Done.
Yeah.
Like,
the end. It just...
Oh. But no, they wanted to throw a line in about a water dragon, but never let us see it.
Yeah. And the parasite, I just thought was such a... I thought it was going to be a much bigger deal than it was.
Yeah.
Which can describe almost all of the movie, basically. But it
basically,
just... Like you said, it was just an excuse for them to have a conversation without him being conscious.
All of the use of the beasts are excuses to do something that doesn't actually progress the plot. It's, okay, let's have a cool action sequence.
Right.
It's, okay, let's show Grindelwald being bad. It's, you know, let's show an exotic beast in the circus.
Yeah.
I think that, like, if, because we couldn't have these complaints if the movie made sense and did incorporate beasts. Because obviously if they had, like, you know, 20 different beasts, but then they like made basically stars out of four of them or three of them or whatever, that would be fine. But the fact that the beasts are absolutely not the stars in this entire thing, and then they're also always in the background and just kind of enslaved or whatever, it's like, it's silly. And of course, like, what the there was another creature with the kappa in the that I noticed it's an oni. In the background, when she's, like, peeking around the corner and stuff, you see a legit, like, an oni in the background. It's like, okay, so they just, like, went to Japan and just, like, you know, stole... It felt, like, really targeted in a weird way.
And is that, like, that's not even necessarily J.K. Rowling or even David Yates being like, hey, let's include these cool creatures. That's someone in, you know, like,
yeah,
set design. I mean, I know they're CGI, but it's someone in the design department.
Yeah.
Being, like, fleshing out this section of the world. So it's, like, that's how little they're important. And, like, especially after the first movie, which, I mean, we've talked before about how the first movie didn't end up being as much about the beasts escaping as we thought originally it would be.
Right.
But the whole beasts escaping plot was such a perfect setup to introduce you to a certain few handful of beasts.
Yeah.
And they each get a moment to shine.
Exactly.
And you go in the newt case and, you know, you get to see the moon calves and,
yeah,
and like, you all got the habitats where everything lives.
Yeah. You got a couple sequences where you got to see all the other ones.
Yeah.
And then you got these, you know, four or so that had scenes.
Yeah. And like, I know they can't redo that basically, but yeah, it just, the beasts in this film felt so underutilized and like they were just basically cameos at this point. And it's just so disappointing because they drew us in with that first movie. They brought us into this world and made us care about these creatures and about these, you know, main four characters. And then they thought with the second movie, like, oh, well, they love the characters. We'll bring in more characters. And like,
exactly. No, that's not what I wanted.
Yeah, but no, opposite.
I'm trying to think of a way that you could have done like the rough plot of this movie, but had the beasts like play a bigger role. And one thought that I just had was like, okay, so Credence leaves the circus and he's with Nagini, and then you also see him taking care of this baby bird the whole time that ends up being a phoenix. Yeah. But right. What if that whole time these other beasts from the circus had gone with him? Like,
yeah,
right.
What if you saw Credence now suddenly becoming a very newt type character, showing the parallels between the two of them? And you're seeing him kind of taking care of the Zuwu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Kappa. And the Oni.
Just doing the best that he can.
Yeah. And, like, he doesn't even have to, like, want to, but they could just be like, okay, we like this guy.
Yeah.
We're going with him. And it's like,
even with Nagini, I felt like,
it's just a prop. She was just, yeah, a prop, like, the whole time.
We talked about that, yeah.
She easily could have been anyone else with any other name and just like a
she's
regular
just there to talk to
or whatever,
or any,
yeah,
other, yeah, any other power. She didn't have to turn into a snake. The idea of the idea of her like turning into a snake, like, but being a Maledictus, like every time she does it she gets closer to turning into a snake, that should have been in this movie at some point. She had to turn into a snake in order to accomplish her task, knowing that she, yeah, could never turn back. Like, that gives, that's the most obvious way of giving, yeah, a challenge to that character. But instead, Credence was always like, oh, I want to know who I am. And she's like, no. And that was it. Like,
yep. It just so many wasted opportunities.
And wasted actors. Moments. Like, yeah, they're oh, incredibly, yeah, talented actors. Like, give them something and like, not, I don't know, it was just all silly, like, basic ideas. And it's just, like, the whole script was so disjunct that, mm-hmm, they're just struggling.
Yeah. It's just, I mean,
yeah.
We all know at this point that not a lot of us were fans of the second movie, and we're, like, trying to hold out hope for the third one, but also we know nothing about it, and yeah, it seems that
I liked
doing
the first one. I really did. I liked it. I thought it was fun. It had
guys,
great beasts.
The first Fantastic Beasts.
Like, yeah. I remember even loving it so much, and like my parents not knowing as much about the Wizarding World as I did. I took them, like, I treated them to the film, and like I wanted them to see it and enjoy it, and like we went and like had dinner and went and saw the movie and like talked about it afterwards, and they enjoyed it, and they haven't even seen Crimes of Grindelwald because I've told them, I was like, it's not like the first one. I was like, it's not, you know, this big happy fun time with, you know, these cool new characters and these beasts. I was like, it's very confusing, you know, even as someone who knows the original series, like, you know, the back of her hand. I was like, I sat there and at the end was like, what? I was like, so, you're going to be massively confused. So yeah. They haven't seen it. And it's just, for us, literally, quite literally, the three of us who have been doing this from the beginning, like, have been talking about this movie and, like, this series of movies and speculating and, you know, the first one living up to or even exceeding expectations to going to the second one where it just completely...
Mm-hmm.
Wow, just went off the rails. It's difficult because even talking about the beasts, it's like, man, there were so few new beasts and so few beasts in general, and it's
such
supposed
a waste
to be, and it's supposed to be Newt and his story, and now it's become about, you know, oh, eventually we're gonna see the battle between Dumbledore and Grindelwald, which I never needed to see.
I expected
to see it, but it's not like, oh, we're doing Crimes of Grindelwald, so I don't care about anything that happens in these movies until that fight. Like, I just,
yeah,
there's so much more that needs to happen, and it feels like they took the first movie that was really fun and nice and had these characters that had depth and had places to go with that depth, and they just added a bunch of water to everything. Yeah. And they were like, we're going to add all these other characters and all this other stuff and water all of it down, so now no one is interesting, no one has anywhere to go, and also there are so many more beasts, but you see them for a second, and we don't care about them. Like, it was just, I don't know.
Well, I have some just questions to kind of round out. I mean, I said, which beasts were we hoping to see more of? That's all of them.
All of them, every single one.
If you guys, of the new beasts introduced in this movie, if you guys could pick one that you would have liked to see more of or would like to see more of in the future, what would it be?
Oof. In this one in particular?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it would, I feel like they started doing work with the Zuwu. Like, they're starting to build a relationship there. If they don't do something in the future with that, you know, that's kind of dumb. Also, Newt said this whole thing about how it can travel great distances and it super doesn't, so... I feel like they have to at least use it for that at some point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Zuwu too, but I think a major reason why that one sticks out the most is because it was kind of the newest one that was most featured.
Yeah.
Even though it was still pretty limited. It was, all of the beasts they introduced were interesting. Like, they were cool looking. I wanted to know more about the Chupacabra, more about the Water Dragon, more about... You know,
I
always mispronounce it.
Big cats.
But it's like, they could have done so much more with all of them, and I know that's kind of a cop-out answer, but it, like, don't incorporate them unless you want people to ask more questions and be like, oh, are we going to see these guys again? You know, it was disappointing, and I know I say that a lot, but
yeah,
I just, there's a reason why I really haven't seen the film another time, because I just don't want to disappoint myself again. Like, I'm just not in the mood.
Yeah.
It's funny, in order to
prepare for this podcast, I had not seen Grindelwald at all, and because I've just been, like, crazy, crazy busy, and my friends have always, like, they all saw it, and they were like, it's fine, you do not have to watch this. Like, and I'm like, well, I call myself a Potter fan, so I at least have to see it once, have to know of it. Like, I read Cursed Child, even though it's trash. Like, I have to be aware of these things if I'm gonna call myself a fan in this universe, because you can't just say that something's bad and have never experienced it. But, like, it's funny, because, I was going to rent it on, like, Vudu or something like that, and it's, like, $20 to rent, and my wife Courtney found it at Redbox. She's like, oh, I'll just rent it at Redbox. I was like, oh, great, and it was, like, $1.75 to rent it or, like, $2.75 to buy it, and she's like, oh, so I just bought it so that you could watch it multiple times if you have the time before the podcast. Gosh. And I'm like, oh, awesome, I spent less than $3 on this, And now I'm just looking at this DVD sitting on the counter and thinking, I can't believe this is in my house. It was only $3, and yet it takes up the most space of everything I have.
Treat it like a chupacabra and just throw it,
out the window.
It takes up emotional space.
It takes up so much emotional space. Yeah.
Anyway, the correct answer was the augury. We want to see more of the augury.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, I seriously forgot about the augury because it just...
It just flies around.
It just flies around for a second, yeah.
And you know what? Yeah. I'm not mad about it because that was their little montage of showing this Newt's basement. And there's a bunch of other beasts in there, you know? They're just using the augury to pan down with it.
Yeah.
But there should be more of it. So basically, summary, we want not just more beasts, we want the beasts to be important.
Yeah.
We want the beasts to do things. We want it to be about beasts.
I
want to
learn their personalities. I want to know about them.
Speaking of beasts, do you want to go in the Newt case?
Yeah. okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So this week for the Newt case, I have brought a creature of Aztec myth, which is pretty far, I assume, from wherever we would go next for Fantastic Beasts, because we were already... we were already in America. I don't think we're going to go back in that direction.
We're going to Brazil.
Wait, are we going to Brazil?
Yeah.
Rio de
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, then we might get this one.
Yeah.
Don't get your hopes up, though.
Oh, that's cool. I thought we were... Well, okay. It would have been nice if we could have gone to, like, an Asian country, but I guess that's fine also. We had an Oni, and we had a Kappa, and they were imprisoned, and that's enough. Anyway. Sorry. So this is the Ahuizotl. I'm sure I'm butchering that. A-H-U-I-Z-O-T-L. Ahuizotl. But it is a creature that is usually a river or lake guardian. It just kind of hangs out and protects the creatures that live in lakes and rivers and such. And it is mentioned in the Florentine Codex, which is a 16th century ethnographic research study in Mesoamerica by the Spanish Franciscan friar Bernardino de Sahaguan something.
Yep.
Oh, man. Woof, I cannot pronounce anything. But in this description, I actually got, there's a quote of this description from the Florentine Codex. So the Ahuizotl is it is black like rubber, smooth, slippery, very smooth, long-tailed, and its tail is provided with a hand at the end, just like a human hand at the point of its tail. And its hands are like raccoon's hands or like monkey's hands. It is a dweller in watery caverns and watery depths, and if anyone arrives there at its entrance or there in the water where it is, then it grabs them there. It is said that it sinks him, it plunges him into the water, it carries him to its home, it introduces him to the depths, so its tail goes holding him, so it goes seizing him. When the body of the person is retrieved, the one that is drowned, it no longer has eyes, teeth, or nails.
Ooh.
It has taken all from them. But his body is completely unblemished, the skin uninjured. Only his body comes out all slippery wet as if one had pounded it with a stone, as if it had inflicted small bruises. When it was annoyed, it had caught no one. It had drowned no one, none of us commoners. Then was heard as if a small child wept.
Aww.
And he who heard it thought perhaps a child wept, perhaps a baby... Perhaps an abandoned one. Moved by this, he went there to look for it. So there he fell into the hands of the Ahuizotl, and it drowned him. So this creature, it's often described in other tales as being, it looks kind of like a dog. It has like a dog-like face. And in fact, when it gets wet, its skin forms this kind of fur that looks very sharp. The name itself, Ohizotl, it means like a spiny river thing or spiny water thing or something like that. But it's like spines and water and creature. And yeah, so if it sees someone, it grabs them and pulls them into the water and drowns them. But it doesn't eat them. It just like eats its teeth and nails and eyes. And then if no one's around and no one has come over to like look at the water or whatever to lure people over, it sounds like a baby crying. So people walk around and be like, "Oh my gosh, where's the baby?" And then it grabs them and pulls them in. So there you go, Ariel. That's your that is your current nightmare. That's for you.
Noted. If I'm near water and I hear a baby cry, just ignore it.
Yep, just ignore just ignore it, yeah. That's good.
I hear babies cry every damn day.
Good practice, yeah.
Not helping any of them.
But yeah, if you Google images of the creature, like it's really, there are all kinds of fascinating drawings of it, like both, there's like an old like fresco of it. There's a carving of it. It's got
there
kind of like spines
on
its back.
There is a My Little Pony one.
What? Send it.
Google?
Of course you found the My Little Pony.
I'm not Googling. Just send it.
And here on the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic wiki.
Oh no. Oh no.
Ohizotl is a male character who first appears in the Daring Do book series in the episode Read It and Weep.
Yay, Shannon Physically made it cute.
It's not cute. It's a murderer that sounds like a baby. It's a murder
it's
baby.
It's got a hand tail. Okay, I'm gonna send this to the chat in case you can't find it. So it's a character specific.
Oh, what? No.
Yes.
Well, I guess it's a pretty intimidating My Little Pony looking character.
I mean, it seems pretty accurate to your description.
Yeah, it's got like a dog face, got the hand on its tail. It's got kind of like monkey hands. Yeah, that's it's a good description of it, but it's too cute.
Check out that little earring. That's so cute.
Yeah, he's got style. I like that. I like that he's got style. I appreciate that.
Like a cuff.
Poor Aaron
tail.
Is so sad.
So
that
sad that you ruined my scary monster.
It was the first thing that popped up
Wears
when I googled it.
Golden-colored jewelry, such as a necklace, a single earring, and three bracelets—one for each foreleg and one around his tail's wrist. That is adorable. Thank you, Shannon.
You're welcome. And now, if you Google it, but like minus My Little Pony, you'll find other more terrifying images.
But in any case, if you hear a baby crying near water, just go ahead and ignore it. It's probably
too late for it anyway.
Yeah. Good advice on this podcast, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that concludes this episode. Thank you so much, Aaron, for being on this episode with us. We really appreciate it and can't wait to hear more about Puffs if you want to talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Puffs runs starting in on August 9th, runs to September 1st in Fullerton, California, at Alchemy Theater, being performed at the Stages Theater in Fullerton. So get more information at alchemytheater.com for tickets and stuff. And hopefully, if you are a California person, I will see you there.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to be on here. Like, this is nice.
This was really nice, guys.
It was a good reunion.
Felt good, felt natural.
Yeah.
Felt organic.
Sure. No, I'm just kidding.
Sure. I guess.
Yeah, it's whatever.
So.
So for our podcast question for this episode, we want to know, which beast do you want to see more of in future movies? We'd love to hear from you, so drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets, or you can email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And as always, we love when you leave us a sweet, nice, amazing review on iTunes.
That's right.
It's the Hufflepuff way.
Yep.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Speak Beastie. Facebook at facebook.com/speakbeastie and Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. And yeah, support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/speakbeastie.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Aaron. Oh, do I get to do it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Case closed.